Good morning, church. The very first time I came to church, it was, I believe, November 1986. The song you just sang was sung. And I thought, what a beautiful song. And it was sung in complete harmony. Treble, alto, tenor, bass. And I thought, what a church. This is the church I want to belong to. And I remember my converse on the football field with Tony Cameron. So, it's great to see him still leading the song. It's great to be here. If you are visiting for the first time, I'm also visiting. So, we're in the same boat, okay? I want to welcome you again. We're a group of people who just want to love the Lord and also to love one another. The title for today's message will be Those Whom I Love. Those Whom I Love. But before I get into the message, can we go next, please? So that's my technical operator there. I want to introduce my family. That's my wife Jackie there, and those are our wonderful two daughters, Omaria and Itege Menen. And there are two girls who adopted. I saw Omaria, my older one, in the County Council magazine for adoption. And I said to Jackie, I think I like this girl. She was a tiny 4 month, 3 month old then. No, sorry, two and a half years. And so we started pursuing with the social workers. And Jackie saw my younger one, Achiga, in Westminster County Council magazine. And we pursued. And down the line, they said, by the way, do you realize these children are siblings? And that is how exactly God works. So though they are siblings, the very first time they slept under the same roof was in our house when the adoption came through. They are very dear to us. And that is how God works. Amen. As I said, I was baptized April 1987. I remember very well, 2nd of April. I just finished my tax examination. It was 1 p.m. I finished my exams. 3 p.m. I got baptized. Amen. And I was baptized High Brennies Linton Pool in the north. And then, year 2000, I moved to the south side. In between that, I spent 2 years in Ghana on the mission team in Accra. Amen. So, and for 10 years actually, I worked full-time for the church in the admin office. So, 2007, and then I became head of finance for the charity Samaritans until just the 1st of March, where I resigned, and now I'm in the full-time ministry. Amen? Amen. But now we are on our way to Leicester. Can you give me the thing for Leicester? Let me talk a little bit about Leicester. As you can see, as a church, we want to please God. We want to send a message to all the world. Amen? In England, I think of England, and the northeast of England, Newcastle, Sunderland, Durham. You think, do we have a church yet? Not. But it's our mission to reach that area. Of course, northwest region, we have Manchester. Yorkshire and Humberside, when we talk about York, Leeds, Sheffield, we are yet to have a church. Amen. West Midlands, we have Birmingham, praise God. The east region, we have Cambridge, Norwich, Peterborough. We have Norwich, I think, but we are yet to reinforce. Of course, London region, we see ourselves in London. Amen. Southeast, Brighton, Oxford, Canterbury, Southampton. We are yet to reach those areas. The southwest, Bristol, Bath, Devon, Exeter, Cornwall, all those areas are yet to be touched. And guess who is going to do the work? All of us. Amen. We have been called to go to Leicester in the East Midlands. Derbyshire, Nottinghamshire, Northamptonshire, Lincolnshire, Rutland. These are the areas we hope to reach. Amen. It is a task that men and women are not going to do, but God will do it. God will certainly do it. I'm not going because I know what I'm doing. I'm going because God says you should be there. And God is going to work. Amen to that. God will do it. In the Leicester Church, right now, we have 21 disciples. In fact, this year, two people got baptized in April. Where is Keisha? Stand, Keisha. Stand, Keisha. Keisha got baptized in Leicester in April. And the next one is Ethan, the only teen baptized in Leicester so far. Amen. But God is going to do amazing things. I do thank you for your sacrifice. One thing I know about the East region of London is their sacrificial giving. And your sacrifice through the missions contribution is going to support the work we do. And indeed, is going to support the whole of the regions of England. Let's not forget the nations. Let's not forget Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and the Republic of Ireland. There is much to be done. There is much to be done. Today, the title is Those Whom I Love. Jesus writes a letter to a church he loves deeply. And we'll take our lesson from the book of Revelation. Those whom I love. Revelation, if you are with me, go to chapter 3, verse 14. He reads, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I'll counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salt to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Amen." Our God, our Father, this is a day we pause in our week to gather together as a fellowship. We share the bread and wine. We reflect on your word. Please be with us. Our hearts and minds to be instructed by your word. Nourish us that we may get closer to each other and to you. We thank you. We pray this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure you'll agree with me that this letter is quite stern. And yet Jesus says, it was written to those whom I love. I'm not sure about you, but if I received a Valentine card that said, "Dearest Roger, you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked," I really wouldn't think this is a letter of love. But Jesus says, this is to those whom I love. Because in our thinking, the word rebuke, discipline, is not associated with love. In our society, it is harsh. It is judgmental. But when we look at the biblical concept of rebuke, the word elencho, it means to show one's fault.
to convince of wrongdoing, to convict of guilt, to expose the wrong, to prove guilty. In other words, the love person will show you the things that are going wrong and bring you to safety. Amen. We do that with our children. And Jesus says, I do the same with my church. Those whom I love. Rebuke is to highlight one's faults so that you can be corrected. I told you about my girls. There is something in me where I don't like lateness. Okay? So when I'm getting my girls anywhere, I prepare them half an hour in advance so that we'll leave the walk through the door on time. But there's this thing where all of a sudden we are just going through the door and you look at the laces are not done. They want to go to the toilet again. They want to have a drink. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, why can't we get on time? So there was this occasion where I have timed the tram time carefully, the train time, everything is organized. We are walking through the door. They left something. So we walked through the door. I was very grumpy that they didn't stick to that time. And we're walking down to the tram stop. They were trying to make jokes with Daddy. Daddy wouldn't laugh or even look at them. Very grumpy. We got on the tram. Daddy was still very grumpy. My girls are trying to make jokes. Daddy this, and I'm thinking, be quiet. Then I saw somebody I knew. Hello, Roger. And he also, hi. And there were hugs and giving hugs and high fives. And my daughter said to me, Daddy, how come we are very nice to the stranger? And you are so mean to us. You see, that is a rebuke. They just revealed my hypocrisy. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have never done that again. My children didn't have to be harsh with me. The little comment, the question, how come you were so nice to a stranger? And we are not nice to us. That was a rebuke for me. And Jesus shows us the same. Now, so back to the text. What is Jesus trying to expose about this community that he loves so much? He writes to the church in Laodicea. Let's look at the church in Laodicea. Laodicea happens to be one of the seven churches that Jesus was writing to. And you can see it right there. And the seven stars are the seven churches he was writing to in the book of Revelation. The next one, please. And it's a city founded by Antiochus II. And he named it after his wife, Laodice. In those days, it was seen as a very romantic city. It's a bit like somebody says, oh, my girlfriend and I went to Paris and I proposed. We immediately think, oh, what a romantic brother. Okay. But that is how Laodicea was seen. The next one, please. Laodicea was a very wealthy city. I'm quoting from Tacitus. After a serious earthquake in AD 60, the city was rebuilt from its own wealth and without financial assistance from Rome. There was an earthquake in Laodicea. Roman Empire would normally send money to its territories. They said, no, thank you. We have enough money. It was the wealthiest in the Felgia region. It's a bit like the floods in London or UK recently. And imagine the whole of East London was flooded. David Cameron said, okay, emergency, let's send aid to East London. And the East London committee says, sorry, no thank you, David Cameron. We are wealthy enough. This was Laodicea. They were wealthy. Next one. It had a very established banking industry. It was the center of financial and banking operation according to Cicero, the proconsul of Cilicia. Next one, please. It had a flourishing textile industry. And I'm quoting from Strabo, the historian. He said, the surrounding countryside produced excellent sheep, and the Laodicea derived splendid revenue from the soft, raven black wool of their flocks used in their textile industry. interesting, I'm saying all this because Jesus is using the local situation to address the church. Next one, please. It was famous for its medical school. And again, Strabo says, the school was renowned for where there were renowned ophthalmologists practice. One of the things that was developed was a powder which was extensively used to make ointment for the eye. Therefore, Jesus talking about the salve for the eye, these people will understand what Jesus was saying. Next one, please. Finally, it was situated in the Lycus Valley between Colossae, and again, it makes an important point here. Colossae, you can look at it in Colossians 1:2. It was famous for its cold, pure, refreshing waters. And then the other location was Hierapolis, Colossians 4:13, and it was known for its hot spring medicinal waters. These are the two cities that bordered Laodicea. And so, with that background, Jesus then tells them about. I want you to bear this fact in mind, because Jesus uses the local situation to highlight what they were thinking. Amen. So, he goes on. These are the words. These are my words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. What a depiction of Christ. He said, I'm the Amen. I'm the true witness. I'm the true faithful witness. These are my words. This is not a trivial story. This is not a novel. This is not a gossip column in your favorite magazine. This is not an app on your device, okay? These are my words. Take them seriously. The words of Jesus are to be taken seriously. The Bible is God's word, and we need to take it seriously. It's fundamental that Christians understand that. It's not our opinion that will matter. Jesus' words matter. He said, these are my words. I know your deeds. I know your deeds. And Jesus says, look, I know everything about you. Sometimes we go through life, as it was shared in the communion, and you think God doesn't care. Jesus knows everything we go through. He sees our hearts. He discerns our behavior. Our deepest thoughts and the motives behind those thoughts are laid bare before him. Our most hidden secrets, your worries and anxieties, Jesus do know. Your pain and woes, every word you uttered under your breath, Jesus knows. Therefore, he's the one who is able to expose. He's the one who is able to reveal. Which leads to our first point. Jesus reveals the defect. Jesus reveals the defect. He said, I know your deeds. And what are the defects? He said, you are neither cold nor hot. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. That's the first thing. Jesus said, you are not cold. You are not hot. You are lukewarm. Interesting. He said, when I go to Hierapolis in the north, there is hot medicinal waters. There is healing. There is spiritual healing. When I go to Colossae in the south, there are cold refreshing waters. They provide spiritual refreshment for those who are spiritually weary. But you in Laodicea, you are lukewarm. You don't heal and you don't refresh. You are in the middle. And sometimes we need to ask ourselves, am I healing spiritually? Am I taking God's word to go and heal? Or am I refreshing others? Or I live for myself? I do nothing, I'm barren. Or, we could look at it from the spiritual temperature point of view. He said, you are cold. You are not cold. You are not hostile to me. And you are not what? You are not friendly to me. You are not against me. Neither are you for me. If you went anywhere, nobody will know who you are. You are in the middle. When they shake funny jokes in the office, you laugh with them. And the religious ones, you also go with them. You understand what I'm saying? There is duplicity. It's a bit like the thermostat and the thermometer. If you bring a thermometer into this room, it will adapt to the temperature of the room. But if you brought a thermostat, it will set the temperature of the room. Put the thermostat up, it will be very hot in here. Put it down, it will be very cold in here. Ask yourself, in your Christian life, are you a thermometer? You adapt to your environment. You don't stand out. Or are you the thermostat to set the agenda? To set the agenda. We all had a football matches this past week. Man, did you hear when the Colombian guys called? Did any of you listen to the Colombian commentator? For 5 minutes, the guy went, go, 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 go. Man, I thought, man, this guy is driving everybody mad. Honestly, for 5 minutes, he wouldn't stop in his Colombian language. You think this guy is hot for Colombia? Okay. Oh, by the way, I was fired up about Ghana. They nearly beat Germany. But that's another story. In 20 years' time, Ghana may win the World Cup. And I was fired up about England. It's the first time they lost and I wasn't depressed because I saw potential. Seriously, I thought this team next time will cause havoc. So, there was potential. I wouldn't analyze all the thing, but there we go. But when somebody is hot about something, you will know. My children are hot about Frozen. Every day they sing out these songs in the house. I said, where is that from? It's Frozen. Let it go, let it go. Da, 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 da. I'm thinking, come on, girls. Sing something else. Sing Jesus is Lord. Yeah, they have all these songs and they will sing and you think, well, what is that? They are hot about Frozen at this point. And now it's about the new film. It's a Dragon 2 or something. Yeah. I slept through the film, but my daughters were crying. I was very tired. I got them the ice cream and milkshakes or whatever, and then I relaxed. And they, afterward, they were asking me about the inside. Daddy, what do you think of this? I said, I'm sure they were great. But my children are fired up about certain things, okay? And we need to be fired up about Christ. He said, you are. He goes on to say, you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth. Isn't that? He said, I am. That's what they were saying. I am. And Jesus said, look, you've lost it completely. I am. There's only one I am. And who is that? Jesus. They have dethroned Jesus from their lives. Jesus is no longer the Lord of their lives. They said, I am. And yet Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Do you understand? These people say, I am. Jesus wasn't I am in their life anymore. They have dethroned the Lord. We have acquired wealth. We don't need anything else. You know what is going on? They have lost it completely. I have acquired wealth. So satisfied. We don't need anything. The self-test for self-satisfaction really is, I don't need God. I don't need to pray. I pray when I feel like, but I really don't need to pray because I don't need God. No more reading of my Bible. I don't need other brothers and sisters in my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. That's what he said. And Jesus said, actually, you do not realize you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You do not realize. It's interesting when, it's funny, Jackie and I sat with his talks. As we do, we talk about marriage. And Corey said, bro, how is marriage going? And I went off, oh, how glorious it was and everything. And then my wife spoke. And then I realized, I do not realize. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. If you're a married brother, let me give you a little bit of advice. When that question is asked, how is marriage going? Let your wife speak first. Okay. Just protect yourself. Take indemnity insurance on that. Okay. But sometimes we really do not realize where we are spiritually, and we need other people to tell us. We need other people to tell us. I'm going to Leicester. I don't have the answers. I've never been in the ministry. Guess what? I said to Corey, forgive me if I phone you every 5 minutes from Leicester. It's not that I don't want to take initiative, but I want as much advice as possible. Because this is not my church. This is God's church. We need each other. We need input. I look at this from, there are so many mature people here. I tell you, you have no idea. I look at the song leaders today, and I thought that is a third of the Leicester congregation right there. You understand what I'm saying? You have a lot in here. Tap into the resources you have. I bet Diana Critchlow will come and do some parenting thing for our parents. So you understand what I'm saying? You have so many resources in here. Let's use it. Let's use it. You have my favorite speaker, the preacher sitting here as well, by the way. I'm learning from Mike. We have a lot. We need other people in our life. Amen? You did not realize. Oh, sorry. I'm way ahead. Keep going. Okay. Jesus reveals the defect. The next point. Yeah. Go to the next one. He also heals the defect. Jesus heals the defect. He says, I counsel you to buy from me. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me. And when I read that, I thought, here you've just told these people, they are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. How can poor people buy from you? What do you expect poor people to do in buying gold, refined gold, white clothes, and ointments? What is Jesus trying to say? You just told them they are very poor. How can they buy? Then I go to the prophecy of Isaiah. I love it. Verse chapter 55. In the Bible, he said, come all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. Amen. Jesus said, what you are coming to buy is not with money. Come, let's make a covenant. Come and buy without money and without cost. Amen. So buy for me gold refined in fire so that you may become rich. Our faith will be tested by gold refined. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, you need to be faithful. You need to be faithful. Don't give up. Our journey is long. Amen. Our journey is long. I've been a disciple for 27 years. There were times where I decided I'm going to give up. And thank God for brothers and sisters who looked out for me. Amen to that. We need to love to the end. Love never fails. Let's love each other. Let's love each other. Faith will be tested. He said, come, buy gold from me. The true faith. Go to Jesus. It will not be found anywhere else. It will not be found in management books or your resume or your money or your houses or your cars. It's going to be found in Christ. Amen. Go to Christ. Quite close to where? So you can cover your shameful nakedness. Okay? Quite close. The linen. Revelation talk about the righteous acts of the saints. That's what we are called to do. And the salve. So that we'll not go blind. Jesus said, look, I'm the light of the world. If you come towards me, you will never be blind. These people have lost perception of Christ. And Jesus is calling them to come back to him. He then invites them, come and eat with me. He said, I'm knocking on the door. Hear my voice. And sometimes you think, what do you mean knocking on the door and hearing voice relate? In Ghana, where I'm from, when you go and ring somebody's bell, you see, it will not be in the houses we live in here, or certainly where I was raised. The compound is huge. You need to bang the gate, okay? So you are banging. Hello, it's Mike. Can you open the door? And when you hear Mike's voice, you think, oh, who is that? It's Mike. Oh, he's a tax collector. And then everybody ran away. Okay, so there is the knocking and the voice together. They go together. The worst thing is when somebody is coming to collect the money and the parents say to the children, go and tell them we are not here. And they go and say, Mommy says we are not here. But they hear the voice. Or you hear this woman banging the door and they say, oh, it's Auntie this. And they say, oh, she talks too much. We are, don't open the door. It happens. It used to happen in my home. Well, they didn't tell me to go and tell them we are not here. My grandmother wouldn't do that. But you hear the voice and the knocking. And people decide whether they will let you in or not. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He said, hear my voice, let me in. And you know, when Jesus is coming, I know over here when we're inviting people, and probably my wife will kill me when I say this. When we are having people, Jackie wants me to clean every corner. And I'm thinking, Jackie, they are just like us. Oh, okay, they have pressures. Their house will not be completely tidy. Let's just come and eat, okay? But Jackie wants a tidy house before anybody comes in. Don't expect your house to be tidy before Jesus comes in. In fact, he said, I'm bringing the food. I'm coming to, so you may eat with me. It seems as if he's bringing the food. It seems as if he's not expecting you to give me anything. He's bringing it. Amen. Let Jesus into your life. He said, I've been waiting for quite some time. I'm knocking. I'm knocking. I'm knocking. I don't know what stops you from allowing Jesus in. But please let him in. He's been waiting for quite some time. And he wants this church to flourish. He wants you to flourish. You know the sad situation about these churches? Laodicea and all the seven churches we saw actually are now Muslim countries. They are all Islamic. Jesus' message is the same for us. Because when he finished, he said, the Spirit speaks to the churches. And that message is for us today. It's not for 2,000 distant years back for these seven churches. It's the same for us. But Jesus says, I'm writing this to those whom I love. To those whom I love. Jesus loves us. He doesn't want us to die. He wants us to do what is right. I was reading this article. I think I shared it in the church service before in central London, in the Telegraph. Britain is now a post-Christian country, the former Archbishop of Canterbury declares. Almost 2/3 of practicing Christians appear to be frightened of speaking out their beliefs. A Christian nation can sound like a nation of committed believers, and we are not that nation. If you go even the whole spread in the middle, it talks. But we are disciples of Christ. It's not going to end here. I am so fired up seeing the teenagers. Next time you see the song leaders here, those teenagers will be there. That's our future. It doesn't stop at all. I tell you, I've been baptized 27 years now. I'm 52 years now. My spiritual journey begins now. I am fired up about that. I'm thinking about Leicester, Derbyshire, Nottinghamshire, Northamptonshire, Lincolnshire, Rutland, Peterborough, wherever God will send us. But I do pray all of us will go to Jesus and have that refreshment. Jesus says, I write this to those whom I love. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, it was a real pleasure and a joy to hear Roger preach today. And Roger, I really want to thank you so much for coming to the East this morning. Given that he's going to be leaving shortly to go to Leicester, I was trying to squeeze a date in when Roger can come and preach, and he's been so busy speaking in the various regions, but finally we managed to get him, and it was definitely worth it. I've known Roger a long time, and you know, even as he said at the end that he's 52 years old, he doesn't look 52 years old. And if you ever see him on the football pitch, then you definitely don't think he's 52 years old. He's a very fit young individual. And it's been encouraging just to be able to hear you preach today, Roger. Thank you so much. Just the insights, the things I learned, even just when he talked about how, you know, when Jesus rebukes us, it's out of love. And rebuke doesn't have to be harsh. It can be very subtle. It can be very very gentle. But it's just simply pointing out the things that we need to change. And when he talked about buying without money, now that's my kind of message, is where you can, I mean, seriously, what a bargain that Jesus offers us salvation, but and it's all provided for. We just need to come to him and to recognize that he is offering it to us. But we've got to respond to his voice. That he's waiting, he's knocking, he's pleading. The best thing about Jesus is he doesn't force his way into our lives. But he gives us the freedom to choose. But if we choose, then we are letting ourselves in for something phenomenal. But again, Roger, thank you so much. Really appreciate that lesson. We're going to go ahead and close out the service with a final song, but just so you know, there is a young lady who's on her way to the service right now, even as we speak. She's been studying the Bible with Ella Agerback, with Julie, with Phoebe, and others. And her name is Lina, and she's from Lithuania. Ella met her just a few weeks ago. But she's just been so responsive to the invitation. The first thing that Ella invited her to was the Women's Day event taking place in Southeast London that Julian and Sarah spoke at. And she came along. She was really impacted by the message. She's been studying the Bible ever since. And because she lives in East London, Ella brought her over to East London to finish studying the Bible. Today was she went in. She works on a weekend. She's asked them in future not to be able to work on a Sunday so she can come to church. So today she had to finish out her shift, and so she tried to leave work early. She's on her way now. She's going to be baptized this afternoon, and so in fact when she gets there, we'll just go ahead and make an announcement so anyone who wants to can be a part of the baptism that will take place shortly afterwards. But when you do see her, please be sure to give her a very warm welcome. You can't miss her. She's very vivacious. She's got blonde hair, blue eyes. She's just a really joyful individual, and many of you will know her already. But at this time, we can go ahead and our song leaders come to the front, and we'll have one final song.